Frances Fox Bivin, we thank you so much for being with us. Longtime social movement scholar, distinguished professor emerita of political science sociology at CUNY Grad Center. Again, a very happy 90th birthday. That does it for our show. We have two full-time job openings. Check democracynow.org.
Wow, 90. Hey, it's 6 o'clock, and you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. It's time once again for another edition of Off the Wall. we should start.
Anytime.
Ready to start?
I'm here.
All right, what's the score?
It's 6-3.
6-3 Mariners. Okay. Sorry, folks. We're a little bit, I don't know why they scheduled the game to start in the middle of the afternoon. But 6-3 Mariners in the in what inning are we in?
Top of the seventh.
Top of the seventh. Okay. Well, the Mets are out. We knew that was going to happen. We knew they'd choke. That's what they do. But we have the Mariners, and since Kyle's from Seattle, I've decided that I'm going to root for the Mariners. They've never been to the World Series ever, so hopefully we can help them get there. They beat what was it, St. Louis?
They're doing their part. Yeah.
It was St. Louis, right? I always forget immediately who they were playing. No, it was Toronto. I'm sorry. They're in Toronto. Who's playing St. Louis? You know what? I don't care. They were playing Toronto, and they won two games.
Phillies.
The Phillies were playing. Okay, you know, it doesn't matter. Different cities, different games. But they were behind, what was it, by 7 runs? 8-1 at one point in the second game? They didn't even need to win the second game to win the series because it was 2 out of 3 and they'd won the first game. But all three games were being played away because Seattle had the worst record. So Toronto got all three games, and now they're playing against Houston, and the first two games are in Houston. So Seattle won't even be at home until after they've played four, and it could have been five away games. So that's something. And coming from behind 8-1 to win the game 10-9, I respect that. Why don't the Mets do that? It's such a good idea to come from behind when you have such a huge deficit and win the game. Your fans get very happy when that happens. And you should try it sometime, and you'll see.
Makes the wild card wild.
It was a wild card series. I like the best of three. They've never done that before, so it's best of three.
I don't really know much about all how that came into the season, but yeah, you said it was like a new thing.
Yeah, well, they expanded it a little bit this year, so it's best of three for the wild card part. Then we're in what's known as the divisional series now, which kind of confuses me because there's only three divisions and there's one other team. That is obviously in one of the three divisions, but you could wind up having a team that's not in a particular division. It doesn't seem like they're playing for the division. I don't see how they can do that mathematically. Then after that, there's the league for National League or American League, the league championship, and then after that, that's the World Series. So that's how it all works now. But the one we're in now, the divisional series, that's a best of five, and then after that, it's best of seven until the end.
This was a great home run.
Thank you. Wait, what?
Yeah, that's 7-3 now.
See, you're facing the screen. I'm facing away from
it's
the screen.
It's great. All the way out of the park. Look at that.
Well, which team was it?
Seattle.
Oh, that's your team. Okay, good. So 7-3 now.
That's right.
This is what the Mets don't do. They don't score more runs after they've scored a run. They stop scoring runs. Then they let the other team score more runs. And then that number gets bigger than, you know, I should just go in there and explain it to them one day. If I can get past that damn parking attendant, I could have a nice conversation with them and explain what they're doing wrong. They're not scoring enough runs. They're not hitting the ball enough. That's what it is.
They put up some serious fight.
You can have all the ESPNs and MLB networks and sports channels and MSGs, but it all comes down to the fact that they don't hit the ball enough and they don't run around the bases enough. That's the problem.
Yeah, it gets a little bit lackluster or something. Something's missing.
Uh-huh.
It's not quite the same, you know, consistency.
People get paid a lot of money to get more granular than that, but it's really a very general problem. And I think they just need somebody to go there and point that out.
I think they would listen at first and then show you the way out.
Yeah, I know the way out. I've been on the way out so many times. I know how to get there. I could do it with my eyes closed, but
they're deserving, and it was a good run, a good season.
Look,
for the most part,
I didn't choke in the wild card playoffs. I did not. The Mets did. I didn't hold on to first place for the entire damn season and lose it on the last couple of days. Twice. I didn't do that. The Mets did. All right? So, you know, the facts speak for themselves. All right, enough sports. Well, did Seattle score another run?
Let's just get back to the
game's going to end during our show. Our show's going to end during the game.
I don't want to be superstitious. We either talk about it, we move on. Either way,
looks like somebody hit something hard. But then that guy's going to get underneath it and catch it, and that spoils the whole thing.
Two outs. Yeah.
So what have we been up to this week? We got our new updated COVID shots.
We're by trivalent.
I don't even know what that means. What?
It's like you get a bunch of the different types of antigen in the vaccine. So it's all like it's like a combo, and it's the variants that were very prevalent.
Just like Dr. Fauci.
Oh no! I'm. It's just what I hear. You know. I don't know. It's been a little hard to get. The right information, but I think a lot of the pharmacies and people's healthcare providers are keen to spread the awareness. I've seen grocery stores advertising like flu shots. You can get them at the same time, but I don't think that's a good idea. We were discussing that.
There's a couple of reasons why it's not a good idea. First of all, it's a lot. we got our shots on Thursday, and our arms really hurt on Friday. In fact, Friday was a lost day for me. And that's fine. I will happily lose a day, you know, rather than losing a lot more to a horrible disease. And, you know, it's not like it's a surprise that can happen sometimes where you just, you know, feel lazy or, you know, a bit achy. But after that, things start to improve and you really start to build up a very big resistance after about a week or so. And that will last for a while. Getting a flu shot, that's something else. I'll do that in a couple of weeks. But the reason why I don't think it's a good idea to get the flu shot this early is because resistance to the flu peaks at a certain time. And if you get it too early, you'll peak too early and you won't be protected throughout the winter, which is when flu tends to be very popular.
The whole of the season.
Yeah. So I think the later part of October is better for that. And that way my arm gets to hurt another day.
It does. Yeah. It does initially, but that kind of like just I don't know, malaise, a little bit of a lethargy, in painful lifting of your arm. But
it tells you that it's working.
It's a small.
It's doing something.
A small bit of discomfort for avoiding and preventing a lot of.
I know
new variants.
As soon as I said it's doing something, other people saying, "Aha, that proves it." I know there's people out there that think we're getting injected with all kinds of horrible experimental things. No, that's not what's happening. We are being protected from a disease which is still around.
Well, I heard these ones were less experimental,
and
because a billion or so people, many billion, tried this similar vaccine, so. I don't feel like it's that experimental. I can't get past. What was it you said? Did you find the statistic about that?
About what?
How many people are getting these shots?
Well, I know it's not enough.
I just can't understand why you wouldn't. If it's free, it's available. People are encouraging it.
Well, first of all, okay, we didn't do it right away.
At this point,
we didn't do it right away because we weren't thinking about it. Until we started looking into it, and actually, you know, it's kind of a new thing right now where the updated booster shot. First of all, I didn't know what it was called. You had the name just now. For me,
it's part of it.
For me, it's the fifth shot because I had, you know, two shots in 2021, and then two boosters because I qualified for the second booster earlier this year. You didn't, so no. You've only had three before this.
Correct.
But the shots that we got on Thursday, that's the updated booster, which, you know, for you it's number four, for me it's number five, but it's the same basic shot, and that will get you up to date regardless of how many you've had in the past.
Yes.
Now the problem is not enough people are doing this, and that's why it was so easy. I looked into this Wednesday night. How long will it take to get an appointment for one of these shots? How about tomorrow? How about tomorrow at your local drugstore? Yeah, I could have gone almost anywhere. It was so easy to get the appointment, so quick, so fast.
There were other people there, so it wasn't like a ghost town or something. And the pharmacies are very busy, so you have to have a little bit of patience. Mm-hmm. You can't expect to just go in there right away. You got to get into their workflow and make your presence known and all of that. And there was even some confusion. There was people coming in who had appointments and were like trying to check their name. When I got checked, she asked me somebody else's name. The person who sat down before me, he said that they had asked him somebody else's name. So he asked me if I was the person that she suggested he was, because it was the other person.
Only first names. I mean, it's not like they were giving out the health records or anything like that. But how about the guy?
Well, just to know who's who in line.
How about the guy who showed up 10 minutes late and he was at the wrong store?
Exactly.
I'm sorry, I'm late. Well, we don't have a record of you.
That was just priceless.
Is this not the... and there were two in the same town. That's how he got confused. By the time he got there, I'm sure it all got worked out. Point is, it's easy, it's fast, it's free, and you can do it all online. Here's the problem. More people have died on Long Island from COVID-19 this past summer than last summer or the summer before that. Think about that. You know, we talk about the pandemic being over. Maybe the pandemic part of this is over, but the COVID part is still very much around. And the people who are dying, maybe you don't care about them as much, but they're people and they matter. And if you dig deeper, you'll find that most of them are not vaccinated. And maybe that's why we're not paying as much attention, because, you know, some of us feel, well, they made a choice. That's the wrong way to think about this. All right. People have to be reminded that this this vaccine is a very effective way to fight against a deadly disease. It's not deadly to everybody, but it's deadly to enough people. You know, over a million of our fellow citizens lost their lives in the last few years. And they didn't have to. So don't hesitate. It's easy. It's quick. It's relatively painless. You might just get an achy arm for a day. Small price to pay. Small price to pay for protection against this.
Help other people too. Give rides, help coordinate in your family group, especially with the holidays coming up. It's critical that people pay attention. And this is just one less chore, one less errand when it gets busy during the holidays that you'll have to think about, and you'll be able to plan your events and feel a little bit more assured that bringing in vulnerable people that you may not have seen for a while will be a much safer experience throughout that. And it just, like you said, reducing the amount of people that are mixing around and exposing this. And if it's a small price for you, it could really help the larger populace. And I really strongly encourage people to look into what's right for them and in their health situation and get take care of themselves, because it's free. I mean, it's right there, and there's so many benefits to just taking advantage of it as soon as you can.
I'm looking at the actual numbers for Long Island, and maybe people think these are low numbers. Let's go back to 2020. 182 people on Long Island died of COVID-19 from the period June 1st to September 21st, 2020. 182 people. That is a lot of people, because we're talking about a relatively small area, and not that long a period of time, the summer months. And, you know, it goes up in the winter time, as we might expect. Okay, 182 in 2020, when the virus was first being experienced. 2021, 208. So it went up from 182 to 208. Now, keep in mind, 2020, there was no vaccine. 2021, there was a vaccine, and people were fighting to get it. So 182 who died in 2020, 208 died in 2021, 2022, 304. So that's 67% more than in 2020. That's a huge number. Percentage-wise, that is a huge number. So get your damn shots, seriously. Starting to get upset now, because this is avoidable. This is really avoidable. We've proven that we can get past this, but we have to work together and we have to be smart.
Certainly. I'm just listening to those numbers. It's pretty amazing that we're not talking about it more. And I just think of also people also recovering with symptoms, longer symptoms, the fight to kind of regain full like lung capacity. There's so many people that are still suffering or still trying to recover their business or regular routine, or just deal with loss in their family from people who they tried to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine that. Trying to have a conversation, trying to convince someone, you know, this isn't something that is negative and it's safe and it's going to help you, and then losing them. I don't know. I just, it's ongoing, and to have that going on and not really discuss it as much, it's heartbreaking.
You know, I'm looking at a number of people in the area, Nassau and Suffolk, Long Island, who qualify, who got the vaccine in the past couple of years. 2,179,999 people. Really? 999? That's kind of cool. 2,179,999. Of that 2.1 million people, only 76,000 have gotten the shot, the booster shot, for this year. That's terrible. That is terrible. So we you know, that's less than 4%. Less than 4%. We have to do better than that, or we're going to be going through this all over again, and this time we'll be choosing to.
And we can afford it, I think, nationally and locally. It's just, it's too traumatic, too detrimental. The shock on our healthcare system. You know, you may not have this illness, but try, you know, handling some of your other chronic conditions or autoimmune or cancer, oncology, mm-hmm. any, you name it. Just starting a family, you know, childbirth, is all these kinds of things that have to continue
mm-hmm.
In regular daily life right. around the country, around the world. And we've yet to really fully recover, and that is so needed, you know, economically, like supplies and food, you know, that there's a lot of things that have been put off. Everybody, you know, wanted to get back to normal and have fun, but some of those things take a lot longer to sort out.
Right.
And it's just, we can't afford to stop again. And no one wants to socially, I think.
I don't know. I'm wondering if people want to. I wonder if people want to go back to wearing masks, want to go back to social distancing, want to go back to doing everything virtually. It's weird because, you know, some people have turned it into a political issue. And somehow, because the Democrats are so good at this, somehow Democrats are being blamed for COVID, you know, either for its existence in the first place or for overreacting to it. While people are still dying, while the science is bearing out everything that they've been saying from the beginning, and I just wonder what is it going to take, you know, because we've been down this road a number of times already. We've learned some things, and yet people refuse to actually listen to what's wise and what has been proven. So
yes.
I don't know. I don't know how many more ways I can possibly say this. But let's move into other issues, because there are so many other issues going on. I think that whole thing with Democrats, they manage to get blamed for almost anything. You know, pick something, and any kind of value, whether
globalization. Since that's
well,
what
I mean, globalization
everything.
is very complicated. There's many ways to look.
No,
at it.
No, Democrats invented
it. No, the simple
it's
things.
Their fault.
The simple things. Okay, like. Somehow Democrats are anti-police when it's Republicans who are attacking police, either when they raid their favorite president's home or hang out or whatever you want to call it, or when they attack police raiding the Capitol building. But somehow they get to hold on to their Blue Lives Matter flags and say that they care about cops more than anybody, when it's clear they don't. Patriotism. You have Republicans basically openly siding with Vladimir Putin and standing up against democracy, and all kinds of numerous other examples of how they're not actually patriotic, yet they claim to they hold on to the flag, and the flag is more associated with them than with Democrats. Democrats don't stand up and they don't say, no, you're wrong, you're hypocrites. They get away with it over and over and over again. And the one that really gets me the most is crime. You know, just crime on the streets. Somehow, Republicans are standing up against crime and blaming it on Democrats. Blaming it on Democrats as if Democrats had something to do with it. And Democrats are letting them do this. They're not fighting back. If you look at the statistics, okay, and there were so many statistics to look at, but if you look at them, it basically bears out that it's got nothing to do with who is in charge, who is the governor, who is the mayor, who is, you know, in a particular seat. It has to do with so many other factors, and one of the biggest factors is ease of gun access. Absolutely. Our good friend Lee Zeldin, who's running for governor. This guy is a work of art. He really is. So over the weekend, there was actually a gun crime outside his house. And he was more than happy to inject that into his campaign, where basically he's blaming Governor Hochul for every crime that takes place in New York State. And somehow, this is another example of that. Now, keep in mind, this is a guy who basically wants more guns, who wants people to be able to access them easily. He wants kids to be able to get access to them, people younger than 18. He basically thinks good guys with guns will solve all problems of bad guys with guns. You know, never considering that it's a bit more complex than that, where, you know, good guys one day can be bad guys the next day. Bad guys weren't always bad guys. Sometimes, you know, people change over the years. And also, you know, when you have all these guns around, what happens to them when they get stolen? Or you ever think, you know, in Florida, all those homes that got abandoned, all these people probably have guns. Where are the guns? Did they evacuate with their guns? I doubt it. They're probably sitting around somewhere. You know, it's a big responsibility and one that's not taken seriously. Anyway, so Lee Zeldin for years has been pushing for this kind of thing. And he has the audacity to say that somehow the governor, because she's a Democrat, is responsible for what he calls a dramatic rise in violent crime. If there is a rise, it's not dramatic and it's not anything to compare with other places. And we'll get to that in a second. If the same thing happens in another state, and I'll point to Florida as a good example. I'll point to Texas as another example. He does not blame the governors for violent crime in those states. No, because somehow when that happens, it's the fault of the mayor, if they're a Democratic mayor. And if it's a Republican mayor in a Republican state, and there's violent crime, then it's because of immigrants. There's always a way to not blame the Republicans and to continue to hold on to this false claim that they're the party of law and order, they're fighting crime, when Democrats are fighting crime as much as anybody. It is so unfair to keep pointing this out, to keep saying that they're the ones responsible, when it's clear that's not what it's based on. That's not, you don't see Democrats blaming Republicans for something that obviously they don't have that much of an effect on. We can say they're hypocrites. We can say, look, this is what you're doing when you're saying you're anti-crime. But to basically call an entire party, one that makes it possible for crime to exist, or particularly violent crime, it is just so irresponsible and wrong. But the thing that really gets me is that it works. It works. People believe it. And they go to the polls with that in mind. And the rest of us really have to speak up about this a whole lot more. I did just a little bit of digging. You know, with easily available statistics that are put out, they're put out by government statisticians. I mean, who else, you know, collects this information? People will say, aha, it's the government, so therefore it's not true. Okay, you know, whoever it is that you trust to put out statistics, that's their job to put out statistics, I'm sure they'll come up with the same results. No, not Fox News. Professionals who do this for a living. Now, I looked up the violent crime rate for New York City, just as an example. And we come up with a number of 538.9 per 100,000. So that's the number of people that are victims of violent crime out of 100,000, 538.9 New York City. Miami, 720.9. Phoenix, 760.9. Houston, 1,095.2.
It's wild there.
These are all Republican states with Republican governors, and yet their crime statistics are through the roof. Do we hear any talk about that? No, we just hear about New York, because New York is the target. New York is the place where criminals run free. It's nonsense. And these numbers, if you look at the numbers down the years, it's pretty much the same thing. They've always been higher. These cities in Texas and Florida and Arizona have always been higher than New York City has been. Why don't we talk about this? Why isn't this constantly thrown in their faces when they make these accusations? It's disgusting, because they win votes based on false information, and we just keep letting them get away with it. They are not the party of the values they claim to stand up for. It's easy to say they are, but, you know, look at the evidence. They're not.
I think a lot of that messaging is for their audience. They realize how absurd and incorrect it is, but they are talking to people that aren't going to check. So it's it comes off as them calling out something, even if it's not real. And it looks absurd to Democrats, so they don't want to entertain it and give it air. So it kind of does impact negatively, but I think this loud group is not as big. They're spread out in these positions, but I think that a lot of Americans right now, I think conservatives specifically, there's a lot more of a fissure, like a split, and there are a lot of people that are maybe just recently affiliated, but looking for other options when it comes to voting. I just feel like there's too much at fault here, and too much that is indefensible that is going to really give them a lot of trouble when it actually counts.
But it should. There are so many things we can point to that the Republicans are culpable. You know, for it's you know, the taking away of a woman's right to choose, the hypocrisy with crime, so many things. It's just we'd fill the show talking about
them. Here's one thing,
but it doesn't seem to stick. We keep hearing about, well, Democrats are in trouble here, and Republicans might see a surge. How does anybody actually walk in there with their head high, saying, "Yeah, they're doing what I want them to do"? Unless you are just an out and out racist who wants to bring things back, you know, to the 1950s and reintroduce segregation and sexism and homophobia and all these wonderful things that are apparently our American values. At what point do we wake up collectively and say, this is a word I can't say on the radio, but we reject this? Does it mean we embrace everything that Democrats stand for? Of course not. But it means that we reject that soundly. And instead, what we're seeing is, you know, not just Republicans, but Trump Republicans winning. And I don't know how to face this country if in November, Greg Abbott is back in power, Ron DeSantis is back in power, talking about running for president, because it means the people decided this. And yeah, I know there's all kinds of gerrymandering and trickery, but we still have enough ammunition, to coin a gun phrase, to defeat them if we stand up and do it. If we give up and don't care, then we've given up a whole lot. And again, I don't know how I'm going to face this country if that happens yet again.
I think having the conversation, being welcoming, people that are looking for a place to be, maybe they want to be a part-time Democrat, but being open to discussing this stuff and raising some of that stuff, pointing it out, if if someone needs to hear it, because I think that the latter is more the case. Your complete confusion and befuddlement at how anyone would stand by them in this scenario, and to my mind, like specifically the Ukraine thing, that is something that is broadly understood and has unified people in a lot of ways. When it kicked off in February, I had calls with people. There were friends and family that I hadn't talked to in a while. There are conservatives out there that are so on side in light of that, and in ways that, you know, I had not even considered, but the sentiment is the same.
On the side of Ukraine.
Absolutely.
Have you checked recently?
Well, I mean, you have to keep checking with people.
You have to keep checking because the marching orders change and revisionism takes hold. And all of a sudden, something that you thought was true is false and has always been false. It's scary to see this happening to the people around us. But it is. It totally is. It's...
I think...
I don't know how much worse it can get.
I think just checking in, yeah, sure. But I believe that we will do the right thing and make a profit.
Okay, well, that's a great way to...
You know, classic... Americana. I mean, what else do you want? Like, we have to get through this, and I hope people really look for the truth in and don't just try to destroy things.
Just to give you an example of how crazy this is, we're looking at a situation where people in America, leaders in America, have stood up to a horrible regime invading a neighboring country. Horrible because they did that. I'm not saying they're horrible by default, but that certainly makes them horrible. And basically torturing people, targeting civilians, and basically doing the right thing by standing up for the people who just want to live in peace in their country. And now, because gas prices might go up because Saudi Arabia decided to stab us in the back and side with Russia, that means that Democrats could suffer. They stood up for the right people. They stood up for democracy. They basically told the truth the whole time. And now, because gas prices might go up because somebody on the wrong side of history decided to stab us in the back, instead of standing behind the people that are espousing the values we allegedly stand for, we decide to punish them because things got a little inconvenient for us. That is how crazy it has gotten in this country, where that's what we have to worry about.
Well, I think it has all been laid bare as far as the connection to fossil fuels, the reliance on that entire industry, and the corrosive nature of it in the lives of the people that are relied on it. And as far as the Saudi situation goes, I mean, we were there with olive branches, so I think things will change, and you know, there's so many options out there.
Look, they're only going to change if people wake up and start paying attention to what's actually going on. Look, here's a story from the Associated Press, if you trust them. Graphic surveillance video shows a man on a sidewalk suddenly punching someone in the head, knocking them to the ground. Yeah, muted screams and gunshots in the background. The video stitches together other surveillance clips of shootings and punching on streets and subway trains, as a voiceover says, "You're looking at actual violent crimes caught on camera in Kathy Hochul's New York." Except it's not exactly true. This is an ad from Lee Zeldin, of course, the Republican challenging Governor Hochul in next month's election. It includes video of an assault in California. Some of the footage depicts crimes that took place before Hochul even took office last year. Yeah. And I just saw that commercial the other day. Even though Zeldin is aware of this and has acknowledged this, they're still airing them. That's a theme that GOP candidates across the U.S. are sounding in the final month of the critical midterm elections. issue of crime is dominating advertising in some of the most competitive Senate races. It includes those in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, along with scores of House and governor's campaigns, such as the one in New York. And it's filled with lies. It's filled with misrepresentations. It's filled with calls to emotion and fear and prejudice. And it's working. It's working because we're not standing up to it enough. We're not challenging it enough. We're not showing hypocrisy where it rears its ugly head. All right. Speaking of elections, there's an election tonight. Do you remember the story a few months ago about the Smithtown Library when they banned anything having to do with Pride Month from the children's section?
Yes.
Yeah, the library board suddenly went all, I don't know how to describe them in a word I can use, but basically they took a dark path and they decided to do what's happening in many parts of the country where there's outrage over, my God, you can't teach my six-year-old that there are people that have two dads or things like that. Really disgusting, really hateful. And for a brief moment in Smithtown, those voices dominated and they were able to pull this material. And again, it's not librarians. It's people that really shouldn't even be in charge that somehow were able to get elected. Well, there's an election tonight, right now, to replace those people. So if you're in the Smithtown area and you feel strongly about this, you have until 9 o'clock to vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I don't even know the names, to be honest. I just know it's an issue. And it's an issue that if we don't pay attention to it, it goes to the people who do. And oftentimes those people don't have the best interests of all of us in mind. They have a very set agenda and they are filled with misinformation, hatred, bigotry, you name it. So tonight in Smithtown, I don't know where, they're probably voting at the library, right? Until 9 o'clock. And hopefully some more sane-minded people will be put in office there and we'll never hear from them because you're not supposed to. Supposed to basically keep the library as a place where people, kids, adults can go to get information, not be judged, not have fear. It's so sad what we're seeing.
I had a anecdote about that. I was at a coffee shop and I heard these two proto dad types behind me. One of them was talking about basically a lot of talking points about like why to fear and who and how to fear and a lot of the hysteria over gender identity and a lot, I mean, confusion, I guess, or just couldn't understand that, you know, there's anything other than male or female and that this whole thing is
hold on a second. It's a hysteria over gender identity. When you said that, I assumed you were talking about Republican again. No, this somehow gets put onto Democrats, hysteria over gender identity. The hysteria is coming from the right wing because they can't handle anything that goes beyond their set definitions. And they want to ruin kids' lives rather than say, hey, we live in a world that's not exactly how we imagined it to be since we were 5 years old. That's the hysteria. But yet, again, as in this conversation, apparently that's not what they were talking about.
Well, it was the one thing that made me perk up a little bit because he was really working himself into a frenzy over this just kind of based on these talking points. And it was a part of a chain of upsets over, you know, generally why, you know, Biden or whatever the current administration's fault is for everything. But it struck me that the labels and names and stuff, really what you're talking about is people who are not like you, queer people. And I just couldn't imagine this person having actually talked to someone who's gone through that, specifically a young person who had gender dysmorphia or was transitioning at one point mm-hmm. and is now an adult. I think people, instead of talking to one another at coffee shops in hushed whispers about things you know nothing of, you're only hearing from talking points, I would just strongly encourage you to actually meet someone, actually consider what that life experience was like for someone before you just share with your friends and make them fearful of someone based on what you heard about that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
It's so ignorant and I can't stand it. What I wanted to do was not what I did. I just listened calmly. But
that's
I get
why
to
you
say,
were gripping the hot coffee in your hands the other day. I was wondering about
the
that.
Lid fell. The lid went flying off. The coffee went everywhere. And I just, I can't. No. And I ran running out into traffic. No. But hear me deeply.
Mm-hmm.
That this is not a healthy kind of discussion around this. And it's really being shaped by the kinds of talking points and accusations that maybe we don't want to entertain as much. And I just hope people realize how silly they sound to people who have experienced that, who have met people.
Yeah, but what good does that do? They sound silly to the people who know what they're talking about, but they keep winning the elections anyway.
Well, my only, I guess I can say that, you know, I wish them that experience for their family, that perhaps they have to grow a little bit when they're challenged by perhaps one of their progeny's gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And how will they deal with it then? Are you going to beat straightness into them?
That's what I'm worried about.
Are you going to yell at them? Are you going to disown them? Because mm-hmm. I guarantee you, whatever you can think of has been done before
mm-hmm.
for ages and ages and ages. And all this conversation from queer people has been is about not doing what we've been doing. It isn't about what people want for your children. It's about when your children
mm-hmm.
challenge you and you don't have the resources, you don't know how to handle it, and then they suffer. That's the problem. So please educate and actually find out what this is about. And don't get hung up on the letters. There's a lot of jokiness about LGBT.
Well, this is the thing.
There's a lot of jokiness about
how
many different types there are.
It's easy to make fun.
That's not your problem to be concerned about how many there are. For you,
right.
It doesn't matter. For other people, it does. They want to identify with an affinity group. They have network tools. They have abilities to reach out and find that community. But it isn't for you to tell other people and judge them what it is to be normal and accepted in our society. And I just, the more I hear it, the more I'm going to challenge it. And
good,
that's
what you should do.
I can't stand it.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to hear any more about it.
That's what we all should be doing.
It is so lacking in empathy. And you name one institution in this country, one company that can publicly put forth that policy, you know, I don't find it. I mean, maybe, you know, the cake shops and all of that stuff, you know, clinging to the court's approval. But this is not how our society works.
Right.
And
look, it's super simple to find an extreme quotation or somebody who says something silly on a side that you feel you don't agree with. To make that the main point in your argument is really dishonest. It's simple, it's easy, but it's not actually addressing the issue at all. And that's what I see people doing all the time. They focus on something that you know, is easy to make fun of instead of the actual difficult issue that affects people's lives. And what you just said is what they should be thinking of.
It amounts to us laughing it off.
Mm-hmm. And that's someone's life you're laughing off. It's funny, you suggest people in these coffee shops talk to the people that they're talking about. We have this, somehow this tradition got started, coffee with a cop. Every now and then a coffee shop will say, hey, you can talk to a cop and see what it's like to be a cop. Okay, fine, I'm, you know, all for that. But, you know, how about people who are truly being victimized, having their lives destroyed. Of course, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, any kid going through this right now, to have to deal with some, you know, older bigot and try to educate them. It's not your job to do that. But it's important that they know that there are so many people out there and they are affected by their ignorant words. And we just shouldn't be encouraging this. I'm not saying we should be condemning people for getting it wrong, but we should be having a dialogue and basically insisting on it, insisting that people are not left behind, that people are not abused, you know, and that everybody, no matter, you know, what your identity, everybody is treated fairly, openly, you know, and not shut down for who they are. That goes for everyone. How is that wrong? How is that a bad thing? Here's another example. Connaught Central School District. LGBTQ advocates and a teacher are taking legal action against the school district after a teacher was directed to remove pride flags from a classroom. That action comes weeks after the district came under fire for banning a book about LGBTQ issues. It's happening everywhere. It's growing. And, you know, it shouldn't be. It should be the opposite. I thought it was the opposite. They're certainly portraying it like it's the opposite. And instead, what we're seeing is more and more hatred, restrictions, fear, and people's lives being ruined. It's disgusting.
You look at the statistics. Do you want to know why the reporting is why we're actually hearing more about younger and different generations reporting more openness to different gender identities, like bisexuality or queer or gay, transgender, because it isn't suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
They're more comfortable talking about it. And your discomfort policing their openness is incredibly toxic. And the that might be scary that there's more media that shows different types of lifestyles. I'm not going to say it gets it right all the time. And some stuff is for adults. That's across the board.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of material for young people that you can't believe is actually allowed for young people. So I think it's our job as a society to really get people the right resources and not try to narrow what our idea of a country of a people is. It's not healthy.
Look, you're not going to get it right away. You know, everyone has a perspective when they grow up. And certainly everybody in my development, I'm sure, would be puzzled, you know, if all of a sudden they were faced with the society that we have today. But that's why you ask questions. That's why you're open to learning. So it's not bad to not understand this or to have questions or even doubts. That's fine. It's when you start imposing your way, you know, using threat of law or other intimidation tactics, and you start basically affecting people in a negative way, destroying people's lives, and just not listening, not being willing to listen, just ridiculing. That is where the real harm comes in. And that's what I see happening, and being encouraged by elected officials, which is, you know, unforgivable. And we have to put a stop to it.
Yeah, and there's a way through this. I don't want to be just at an impasse constantly. Mm-hmm. I think that the stupid stuff has got to go.
I like that. That's a good slogan. In fact, that's what the Democrats should run on. The stupid stuff has got to go. Oh, and it has rhythm to it as well. Stupid stuff has got to go. That's a march. Absolutely, Kyle. You got to write this down. All right, folks, don't give up. We're not trying to be negative here. We just want people to wake the hell up and start doing things and stop being pushed into a corner and stop apologizing for who you are. The lies that we are faced with, and, you know, just look up statistics. You know, I looked up basically gun deaths, Looked up statistics, found an unbiased site. Do you know New York is second to last? Gun laws work. They work. And just because some old judge somewhere doesn't get that and tries to throw out our laws, it's not going to be the final say. Mm-mm. And that goes for all sorts of other things as well. It goes for Roe versus Wade and hate legislation and all sorts of other things. But really, the final say comes down to us. If we care enough to do something about it, then we'll do something about it. We've made tremendous changes over the years, over the decades, over the centuries, and there's so much more to go, but we have to do it. Well, that's all I have to say. Write to us, OTW at 2600.com. You know, the Astros scored a couple of runs. They're 7-5 now.
Did you know that
in the ninth inning, but still, you know. Go ahead.
Did you know that left-handedness is like that too? Like the more...
Oh, we don't have time for that.
It's been encouraged more, so there's more reporting, so there's more statistics. So it looks like there's more left-handed people, but really it's the same.
Our outro's playing, Kyle.
I'm not done talking.
We'll see you next week.
Give me a mic back.
Stay tuned for Finn. All I hear, my friend, is more and more. I can't explain the feelings I've ignored. Oh yeah, my dear old friend, I found the better way to carry on. Still hurting when I hear he is on his own.